You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, I wanted to echo what Justin said a little earlier, and I wanted to say thank you for your generosity yesterday. It was amazing to see all of you respond with such little time. So I don't know if any of you, everybody got the emails, but to tell you the story, on Friday around 2 o'clock, I got a voicemail or text that says, "Scott, listen to your voicemail." And this is from a friend of mine down in Houston. Now, his name is Doug Peters, and he's kind of the reason I'm a preacher, I will say, because he kind of gave me one of my first jobs in the ministry, and I blame him when things go bad and, you know, thank him when things are great. But he said, "Scott, this is what we are going to do. We are renting a box truck in Grapevine." And I thought, who's in Grapevine? Scott's in Grapevine. "We're going to be driving this to Houston on Saturday." I said, "Great, that's just really good." And he says, "Well, I need a place to put it." I said, "Okay, great, you can put it at our church. You need it to be there overnight?" He says, "Yes, but you know, Scott, we don't want to bring it down empty." Oh, okay, well, let me put the word out, and I'll just make sure that all these churches know. And he says, "Well, thank you so much, but the other thing is we don't actually have anybody to drive it down either." So he's still teaching me, you know, if you have a big ask, then do it at the end, right? Not at the beginning. So fortunately, we have some wonderful servant people who love to drive, apparently. Travis and Justin drove it down Saturday, and they came back Saturday evening. And I tell you, it's wonderful what they're doing. Ours was primarily cleaning supplies, and this is the place there. This is after it's been cleaned out? Yeah, so you'll see these. It was a lot more... I guess a lot fuller the other day, and now they are continually helping as people are coming into Houston. They know this is a stopping point if you need supplies for your particular area. So I tell you, God is doing some wonderful, wonderful things. We've seen a lot of love from churches all across this area, and it wasn't just Grapevine. You know, we had people in Keller, Lake Cities, Western Hills, that's way on the west side of Fort Worth, Airport Freeway, you, other individuals coming together. You know, and it reminds me of last week's sermon. You know, whenever it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Remember last week we talked about how important unity is in the family of God. And it's a good reminder what happened this week, that love, it's not just a feeling, it's active. Love is active. And as we've seen throughout this past week, this very difficult week and a half, as people band together and as they're helping one another, as they're helping their community, where they are, where they live, work, breathe, we see that love is local. I love that phrase. Shelley said that a while back, and it stuck with me. Love is local. Now, I've had a passage in my mind for a few weeks now. Sometimes Scripture sticks with you, and sometimes I think God puts it there on purpose. And I think he puts it there to help us pay attention to something. And I think that this is why this passage has been on my mind for a couple of weeks now. Even as Harvey's bearing down, this passage has stuck in my mind. And I think God wants me to pay attention, so I have been paying attention. The text is in Matthew 5. So turn there to Matthew 5. That's where we're going to dwell today, Matthew 5. And I don't know about you, but I've been glued to Facebook. I've been glued to news feeds. I've been glued to the phone, talking to friends and family this past week. These images that have come out of South Texas, they've been surreal. You know, and to see the streets I used to go down every day and the restaurants with Shelly and I used to go to, and we went to a lot of restaurants down there, by the way. But to see those areas that we frequented now being frequented by boats, I mean, it's surreal. And some of you know the Friendswood area and the Houston area. Y'all have friends and family there too, and I'm sure it's not just to us. But to see people that we've worshiped with and sang with and worked alongside, to see them having to be rescued from rooftops, to see them having to be boated out of their flooded homes, it's not something any of us expected. We do expect to see first responders, And Ben, we probably should have just quit after your communion. That was incredible. Thank you for that. God was in that. Thank you. But to see volunteers, and this is something we didn't expect. You know, this is put on online a little while back. A caravan of boats. Look at this. It's unbelievable. The sheer number of people with boats, it was unexpected. A friend of mine was an ex-Marine. He lives in the heart of Friendswood also. He has a boat, and he immediately got to work. It wasn't easy for him. Of course, with him, if you know him, nothing's really easy, but he does it because it's not. You know, he's always looking out for others. He has a very gracious spirit about him, and now he gets to look out for others in the midst of a tragedy, a crisis. This guy's not one to show much emotion. He isn't one to practice his righteousness in front of others. He's a normal, everyday man who loves God, his family, his church, and his community. And he's not alone, because there were lots of other people just like this. They've shown us what love looks like. Now, the text in Matthew 5 gives us a very clear picture of what it looks like to love. And the emphasis on this particular passage that we're going to read is not how to show love to those who are closest to us. The emphasis here is about how and what it looks like to love those who are not necessarily close to us, or people who don't necessarily want to be close to us. You know, I want to read this together, and I want you to think about it through that lens. So let's read this, beginning in verse 42. It says this. It says, "Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." We've seen this week. God making the sun to rise on the evil and the good. God sending the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, God knows how to equalize everyone, doesn't he? He knows how to get us to those places where we realize we really are on the same playing field. He mentioned 9/11, and the image that keeps coming back to me from that is how the ash covered everyone, and you did not know who was who or where they came from. All you saw were people who were gray. God knows how to equalize people. No matter how good you are, hurricanes happen. Tragedy will fall. And I think Jesus is telling us that on some very basic level here, God wants us to remember that we are all his creation. We are all fragile. We are all broken, and we are all needy. No matter how self-sufficient we think we are, we need. So what do you think about this text, especially starting in verse 42? That's a hard verse for me. Now, we typically don't have a problem giving to other people in need in the middle of a crisis. But what about in our normal everyday life, our day-to-day life? I mean, that could be a different story. And what I love in this text is that Jesus brings this idea of love back to a local level. He reorients us to pay attention to what we see each and every day. Give to everyone who begs, everyone who borrows. It's tough words, but you know, in the midst of a crisis, we see that lived out. And this week, we've seen real examples of what love looks like. So how many of you have ever heard of Jim McInvale? Anyone? Probably a lot more this week than ever before. Jim is a furniture store owner in Houston. He's been there a very long time, a very long time. And if you spend any time in Houston, you know him as Mattress Mac. You know his commercials. Here's a commercial from 1980s. Here you go.
Hi, folks. This is Mattress Mac. I'd like to talk to you about one quarter of your life, 6 hours a night you spend in bed. If your mattress is older than 10 years old, older than 10 years old, pick it up and throw it out. Come to Galley Furniture and get yourself a beautiful new Sealy Posturepedic mattress. Get the best sleep money can buy on a Sealy Posturepedic mattress. They're all on sale right now. Galley saves you money. Gallery Furniture, call today, okay. 694-570.
Because, you know, this is before the area codes were important, you know. 80s, and what I think is so funny is that this guy, when he first was shooting his very first commercial, he didn't like the way it was going. It was taking too long. So he said, let me do it. And he knew he had 30 seconds, and he just started talking real fast. And it worked. People thought, oh, this is interesting. It made them pay attention. And his two slogans that you know if you're from Houston is, buy today, get it tonight. Right? And the second thing is, gallery furniture will save you money. And he usually has cash in his hand, unless he's got a mattress on him. Very long time ago, that was a very long time ago. Now, Jim is older, a little wiser, but he is a beloved member of his community in Houston. It's a household name. There was a moment in July when he considered buying the Rockets because the owners had talked about moving them. And so he said, let me do it. I love this community. Let me buy them. You know, I don't know whatever happened with that. But the reason he's so beloved is because this guy loves his community. I mean, he really does. Some businesses build a career out of taking money and taking from people. But what I've noticed is that Jim McInvale, Mattress Mac, has made a career out of giving and loving people. And Shelly and I have been there a few times. And when we see him, he's there at the front desk. He's working, making deals, laughing, making friends, talking with people. So this last week, he opened the doors of his gallery furniture, 100,000 plus square feet of gallery furniture showroom, to people who've been flooded. And this is a huge, huge facility. And I think he's got two, and he did it with both of them. And what's interesting is that he's giving out his personal cell phone number to people. His personal cell phone. He's a known citywide. And he's given his personal cell phone. So one person actually called him and said, Mr. McInvale, my mother she's 81 years old, and she is stuck in her home, and it's flooded. Could you help? So he sends a crew and a boat to get her. And so whenever he's rescuing her, I don't know if he showed up, but she told him, wow, Mr. McInvale, I'm so excited because you rescued me on my 81st birthday. And he said he just started a friendship with her. And whenever the waters receded, he sent a whole crew back to gut her house and clean it. There's this moment when people start shining because of the love they have for their local community. We look at this and we think, well, he's got a lot of money. You know, it's something that he does. What I would say is that he's been doing this for a long time. He's been doing this in one way or another for decades. And he's doing something like this, not just in a crisis moment, but every day. He's giving away things all the time. So a lesson that I've learned and that I need to take advantage of is that he has taken advantage of all these little opportunities to show love to that local someone. And we see it with people that we know here too, the ones who rise up in these crisis moments. That's not just something that happens because it's something they decide to do all of a sudden. It's because they have had thousands of opportunities on a daily basis to show love to people. And they've practiced that. Giving, looking people in the eye on a very basic local level. Look them in the eye. Talking with them regardless of who they are, even if they don't like you. That's what he's done. He says he's found success because of his faith in God, first and foremost. Great customers and a wonderful community is what he says. He's not perfect. But I think one thing we can see in this man's life is that love is an action, and it's something as simple as answering your cell phone. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, sharing what you have, even though it costs us something. Are these people his friends? Are they going to leave this place in a mess? Probably. Are some of them going to want more than what he's offered? Yeah, probably so. But does this mean we don't do this and reach out because it's risky? No, of course not. And I think whenever we talk about the difficult sayings of Jesus, you know, this one particular, 42, give to everyone who asks and love your enemies. I think these are the texts that help us live and look like Jesus. These are the texts that show us what love really looks like. And it seems that the opportunities to show this type of love, they're more prevalent on a local level than they are on a grand scale. It's the everyday opportunities that teach us how to love. You know, those opportunities with people we love and with people who irritate us. But if we only seek out opportunities to love those who love us back, then what reward are we going to get? What is that going to do for us? What more are we doing than anyone else? You know, I think we create sacred space. Remember that phrase from a few weeks ago? Sacred space. When we love someone in any capacity at all, on the small level, local level, grand level, there's sacred space created here. You know, to show love to those people who are not going to love us in return, that's holy ground. Sacred space when we show love, and to show love to someone who does not love us, holy ground. If you don't believe that, look at what Jesus did. But Jesus, in this text, breaks it down even further. This is why I love reading Scripture, because if you really get into it and let it dwell in you, you start seeing layers. Jesus breaks it down even further. It's as if he's saying, I know that loving your enemy is hard, but I'm going to give you a place to start. And then what he says is that he says, if you greet only your own people, then what more are you doing than anyone else? He says, pagans do that. Now to the Jews, this text says Gentiles. Other translations say pagans. Pagans to the Jews were the worst people in the world. They were the most confused, mixed up, and sad group of people we'll ever see. I've actually known a few pagans in my life, self-proclaimed pagans, and they are they're an odd group of people. But they love each other. It's very interesting. They have their own group, and they care for one another. They do a good job of it, and because they know whenever they find someone else who's a pagan, self-proclaimed pagan, hey, we're together. We need to stick together. Even pagans greet one another. So if that's all we who are followers of Jesus Christ, if that's all we do, what more are we doing than that group of people? Jesus is trying to tell us love is an action, and it's local. It's right there around you each and every day. And you might begin by saying, you know, some people are really difficult to even greet. And I think you're probably right about that. I know loving our enemy is hard. I know that. And loving people who irritate us is difficult. So I hear Jesus saying, let's start with something simple. Let's start with something simple. How about we just look someone in the eye and say hello? How about we look someone in the eye and show them that they matter, that they're not invisible? Why not start there? If you're a student, start in the halls. Start in your classrooms. Look at people in the eye. And I know it's not really what we do a lot, but just look people in the eye so that they can be seen. Greet people that will not greet you back. You know, do that at work. You can even do it in traffic if you aren't worried about getting shot. Just start there. Jesus is saying greet people, not your own people only. If you were to not show up at work or not show up at school, do you think people would notice? Are there people in your class who shows up that you notice? How great would it be if you didn't show up and people noticed? You know, I'm just going to encourage us this week. Take the opportunities to look up and to notice and to greet. If you're at practice with your kids, put your phone away. You know, just greet, look people in the eye. And I'm bad at this because I do this a lot. If you're out on a date with your wife or your husband, put your phone away. With your kids, put your phone away. Look people in the eye. And I think, what if we were present enough and we noticed what those people were all around us, who they were, what they looked like. And perhaps I think what we might discover is that when, while greeting someone, we'll find an opportunity to love that someone. And once we start making this a practice, just start at the basic local level of greeting. You know, if we start doing that, what we might find is that there are 1,000 little opportunities to love locally each and every day. And what we might also find is that if we take advantage of these opportunities, opportunities to love locally, then we might discover when the larger events happen, we have very little problem taking risk because we've practiced this on a daily basis. And then once we practice and once we make this a habit, then you know what? Our love is going to be mature. It's going to be more complete, active, perfect. How does Jesus end that little statement? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Doesn't mean sinless, it means mature. Now, I want you to know I'm encouraged by you. I've seen so many opportunities where this church family has stepped up to help, stepped up to serve. I am so encouraged by you. It is beautiful to see what the Spirit of God is doing here. When the call goes out, you respond. Large ways, small ways, it's beautiful. Today, I want to remind you that on a more local level to yourself, there's going to be countless opportunities for you to love. Those who love you back, and those who don't. So I'm just going to encourage you, take advantage of those. Take advantage of those opportunities. And when the time comes for you to have to love an enemy, you may find that even though it's difficult, the practice you have undergone will help you have a mature and perfect love to offer. And it does, really. It begins with me. Begins with you. Love is local. It begins by acknowledging that we are all God's creation. We are all flawed. We are all broken, and we are all needy. You know, God gave to us, we should give. God greeted us, we should greet others. God loved us, we should love. So this week, that's our challenge. Starting with a greeting to love. Through your hello, through your eyes, through your full presence. And let God do the work to help you become His perfect, mature, and complete creation.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.